Good morning. My name's Drew, if we haven't met before. I'm going to be reading the Bible this morning. Please join me. We're reading from Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 to chapter 2, verse 11. So Philippians 1, 27 to 2, 11. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Well, I know some of our dear church family members are currently applying for Australian citizenship. So I thought this week I would have a go at one of those multiple choice sample Australian citizenship tests. And there are questions there about our government system, our Australian national flower, which is wattle, in case you didn't know. There's lots of questions about flags, believe it or not. But I was disappointed because I thought there should have been some fill-in-the-blank type questions, like after Aussie, 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 what are the next three words? Or, you know, finish the quote, it's the Constitution, it's Mabo, it's justice, it's the law, it's, you know, anyone know the answer? It's the vibe. You know, I think the castle should be mandatory viewing for all potential citizens. But I take it the process of becoming a citizen is about learning to appreciate what it is to be Australian, the Australian way of life. But I want to say, make no mistake, whatever you think of formal citizenship, we're all shaped by our culture, by worldviews, by media, by social media, to be a certain type of citizen. And it's got nothing to do with whether you know about the wattle or the castle. I'm talking about deeper things, more pervasive things. I'm talking about the things we breathe in and take on just because of the culture that we're all swimming in. Like, to feel secure, you need to buy a house, no matter how crazy the price is. Or my happiness is based on how much I can shop. See, if they're Australian citizen things, these are Australian citizen things I'm just sort of testing with you to see what connects with you. Say, The measure of a guy or girl is how fit he is or she is. Or living the dream is Netflix and gaming. Or your sense of self is based on how many likes you have. Or sexual freedom and gender fluidity is the way to happiness. Or you believe a progressive agenda will make for a better nation. Or a return to traditional family values is what we need. Or social justice and environmental sustainability is our highest values. My point is, a citizenship test won't make for a type of citizen. The influences are there anyway. And it seems to be, there used to be perhaps a shared view of Australian values, but maybe not so much now. It's more contested. People are now more passionate about what they hold to. There are so many worldviews to make for a good citizen. Well, now let's look at Paul's letter to the Philippian Christians. Not sure if you picked it up over these few weeks that we've been looking at it, but this first chapter of this letter makes it clear that this is a happy letter. It's full of Paul's warmth for those he's writing to. He's full of joy. He's quite gushy. In fact, it starts from chapter 1, verse 3 and continues all the way through. I want to say blokes have a reputation for being a bit scared of emotion. Well, guys, we could learn something here. Paul's unafraid to speak of his affection for other guys. But now at verse 27, chapter 1, verse 27, we get to the first time in the letter where Paul tells the Philippians to do something. Up until verse 27, Paul's spoken of his love and affection, things that have gone on for Paul. But now, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, he gives his first command. And the command is to consciously not live as a citizen of your culture. That is, think and live like you belong somewhere else, that you're a citizen of another place. Have a look at verse 27. This first command, it says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, it's hard to see first glance what this verse has to say about being a citizen, but we need to realize that those five words there, conduct yourselves in a manner, it's a decent best fit English translation of a single Greek word, which is something like citizenize. It's just one word. See, it's literally whatever happens, citizenize worthy of the gospel of Christ. You can understand the translator's difficulty with this. But that one word is the same in chapter 3, verse 20. You can have a look there at chapter 3, verse 20, where it says, but our citizenship is in heaven. So we can go back to chapter 1, verse 27. If we keep with this strange way of putting it, we see the power of it. Citizenize worthy of the gospel of Christ. Live by the influence of the gospel of Christ. Let your sense of belonging come from the gospel of Christ. As a citizen of this world, you know, you and I, we breathe in and take on the culture. It makes us who we are. Well, if we belong to Christ, be a citizen of the gospel. Breathe it in and take it on and let the gospel shape who we are. Can you see how this is a subversive call when it says to citizenize worthy of the gospel? See, the Philippian Christians, they were very aware of being citizens. They were citizens of the Roman Empire with all the privileges and responsibilities that it entailed. So citizenize something other than the empire, it starts to sound controversial, sedacious, subversive. You know, citizens of Rome back then, they had their own gospels. Gospels means good news. It originally wasn't a Christian word. you know, when the Roman emperors wanted to make an announcement of, you know, some great accomplishment, they'd send messengers out into the empire to announce a gospel. Here's one from Caesar Augustus. It was found inscribed on a piece of stone. It goes, Caesar, through his appearance, has exceeded the hopes of all former gospels, surpassing not only the benefactors that came before him, but also leaving no hope that anyone in the future will surpass him. No one could say that Caesar Augustus didn't have a healthy self-esteem. But my point is, the Philippian Christians already knew about gospels. Gospels spoke of power and success and prosperity. And as citizens, they were the gospels to get excited about. But then you've got this word to the Philippians, chapter 1, verse 27. Don't be defined by the power and that prosperity of the empire, but be defined by a weak Jewish man who was executed as a criminal by the empire. Do you see how Paul's instruction here is starting to sound quite subversive? Citizenize the gospel of Christ. It's a call to shift from where you belong. It's a call to cut across the culture that you're part of, to live against the grain. I ask you and I ask myself, how much do we live against the grain? What is your practically lived out gospel for happiness and prosperity and security? Well, now let's get into this this next part of the letter to the Philippians to see what it practically looks like to citizenize worthy of the gospel of Christ. As we look at the next few verses, there are three ways to live out being citizens of the gospel, and they are suffering together, secondly, united together, and then thirdly, humble sacrifice together. Let's look at each of these things. So firstly, citizenizing worthy of the gospel means suffering together. This is verses 27 through to verse 30. Let's go straight to verse 29. Now it says there, verse 29, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, but now hear that I still have. Notice the language. We actually looked at this last week. It says it has been granted to you. In other words, it's been graciously, generously given to you to suffer for Christ. That's not the way we normally think, is it? You've been graciously given a free holiday. Now, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? But you've been graciously given a new car. You've been graciously given a kick in the head. Now, that's not the way we normally think about suffering. But we need to think of suffering as identifying with Christ, as following in his footsteps, as citizenizing worthy of the gospel. Having the gospel means believing in Jesus, and it means suffering like Jesus. This type of citizen is very different from a Roman citizen, isn't it? Being a Roman citizen was about power and prestige. And maybe that's not that different from being a citizen today. You know, our comfort, our reputation, our leisure. But a citizen of the gospel is about weakness and suffering. And notice what it says towards the end of verse 27. When you're in the midst of suffering, stand firm in one spirit, contend as one man. In other words, stick together. Don't let the pressure break your fellowship. Stand firm in suffering together. I want to say, I think there's a low level type of persecution for being Christian in Australia at the moment. Nothing like first or second or third century Roman Empire. The Colosseum with Christians as lion bait. Christians burnt at the stake. I don't know, have you heard of this guy named Polycarp? Polycarp was a church leader in the second century. He refused to worship Caesar like he's God. So before he became a human candle, he spoke to the authorities and he said, 86 years I've served Jesus and he has done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my King and Saviour? Amazing words, aren't they? I'll say them again. Polycarp said, 86 years I've served Jesus and he has done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my King and my Saviour? And then he was burnt at the stake. I asked myself, what have I stood with Polycarp? Back then, what have I said, Polycarp, yeah, he's my friend? So there's this extreme stake persecution, execution, or there's just being ridiculed, put down, thought of as stupid, narrow-minded. But will you and I stand with each other? Help each other as maybe we're just pushed further to the edges, that together we're the stupid ones, the intolerant ones, that culturally we're the outsider ones. Are we willing to stand firm alongside others as they follow Christ? Well, citizen eyes worthy of the gospel means suffering together. The second thing it means is being united together, and this has connections with what I just said, but Paul knows that unity is so important. And this is how he starts there in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Notice how he starts, verse 1, by piling on these phrases that start with if you have any encouragement from being united to Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit. These three ifs are probably three different parts of the Trinity: unity with Christ, fellowship with the Spirit. Most scholars think comfort from his love means the Father's love. But Paul is appealing to the foundational relationship the Philippians have with God to call them to unity. See, have a look, verse 2. It says, be like-minded, have the same love, be one in spirit and purpose. This sameness and oneness, so important. You know, if you've been a Christian for a while, you know this is not about saying we have to have the same tastes and preferences. You know, because is anyone out there my clone? You know, my favorite sport is the Tour de France. My favorite pastimes are running, gardening. My favorite food is Thai. I shocked someone the other day when they learnt that my favorite Spotify album at the moment is Folklore by Taylor Swift. Anyone out there just like me? Now, if we're all the same, that'd be way too boring. No, God's made us all different. So this like-mindedness, this oneness, isn't about tastes and preferences, but it does seem this like-mindedness, this one in spirit and purpose, is very needed right now. Because there are things in our culture, things in our experience of life, applying pressure to not be united as citizens of the gospel. I'm talking about how there's this growing polarization in politics. I'm talking about we more easily live within the echo chambers of our own social media feeds, our favorite social religious commentators. I'm talking about COVID and how fear and contempt for others and isolation is on the rise. You know, by virtue of facing restrictions and not being in our normal building together, you know, watching via live stream makes us more separate as well. At Christ Central, I want to say there have been levels of distrust and fracturing. There is pressure being applied to the special, beautiful, eternal unity we have by the virtue of the gospel of Jesus. So we need to take up this call from the apostle to actively pursue this like-mindedness, this same love, one in spirit and purpose. This is why I think it'd be great for us to get to the first national conference of the Gospel Coalition. We're watching it at the Hub on the 16th of October, along with fellow Christians from right around Australia. The topic is entrusted with the gospel in fracturing times. You can go on our website, the What's On section, and you can register there. I'd love to see you there. Now, if unity was always easy, Paul would have never mentioned it. See, let's hate, let's abhor division and adore unity. Really work for it. This unity we have because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're talking about citizenizing worthy of the gospel of Christ, being shaped by gospel values, suffering together, being united together. And now we come to the third, the clearest way we're called to citizenize worthy of the gospel of Christ, and that is humble sacrifice together. And this is from verses 3 to 11. Let's read verses 3 and 4. It says there, 3 and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. Notice the pattern of those two sentences. In both, the pattern's the same. First part is about forget yourself, bring yourself down, and the second part is promote others and lift them up. I'll read those words again. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. It's all about humble sacrifice together. The key verse is verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. See, we're talking about citizenizing worthy of the gospel of Christ, letting the gospel shape us. And here the shape of the gospel in these words is precisely spelled out. From verse 6 to 8 or 8 to 6 to 11, the shape of the gospel is Jesus' humble sacrifice for us. I'll read from verse 5 through to verse 8, where it says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. We could spend so long on this poem, which we just don't have time for this morning, but the gospel is supposed to be our mold. You know, as a kid, I loved playing with Play-Doh. I don't know if you were a kid who loved playing with Play-Doh too, but my mum would give me these plastic molds, these shapes, and I'd press them into the Play-Doh and out would come, you know, a circle or a star or whatever. I used to love that. Well, this poem about the gospel of Jesus Christ, Christ's humility, going to the cross, is our mold. It's the shape we're supposed to live. So are we humble and sacrificial for the sake of others? You know, when you think about the Australian values for a citizenship test, I don't know how high up really is humility. You know, looking to the interest of others, putting yourself last before others, I think that's probably downright un-Australian. As you think about the people in this church, are you humble with them? Think about the people who are not as much like you because of their country of origin, their political leanings, their views on vaccination, their age, their approach to child rearing, just plain old personality differences. But our culture exerts an influence so that we would stand apart. But being citizens of the gospel, what will it practically look like to look out for the interests of others, even when they're not like us? Not to see them as the other, but as my brother or sister in Christ. Now, what could we do this week to not only look out for our own interests, but also for their interests? You know, all this talk of unity, serving others, makes me think of Tolkien, Lord of the Rings. You know, Fellowship of the Rings, or Fellowship of the Ring. You know, all those very different beings on this epic quest, having forged a bond, and they share this one purpose together. You know, it'd be interesting to do this exercise where you think of Christ Central. Who's more like a dwarf or an elf or Aragorn or Gandalf or a hobbit? Well, I want to say, church, we are on an epic quest. We are bound together because of the gospel. You know, I said before, the Roman world, the Roman Empire had its own gospels, good news, of how accomplishment and power and prestige and security is found. Well, if we're followers of Jesus, we know a gospel of suffering and love and humble weakness and sacrifice. It's the pattern, it's the mold that Jesus has set for us. Are we willing to let that gospel shape us? Let's be citizens of the gospel of Jesus. I'm going to invite you now to pray with me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gospel of Jesus. Jesus who came, who emptied himself and became a servant, servant as a man, and was obedient even to death on a cross. Thank you for his humble sacrifice. And Father, you know the ways in which we need to grow, which we need to be more like Jesus. Help us by your Spirit that we would be citizens of the gospel, that would be shaped and molded by what Christ has done for us. May we be a people willing to suffer with one another, that we would pursue and work hard for unity, and that we indeed would seek to humbly serve the people around us. Father, I pray for our church, for the churches around Australia, that indeed that we would be united, united around the gospel of our Lord Jesus, that indeed we'd be citizens that reflects the reality that Christ came and he died for us. And in his name we pray. Amen.